This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
At the moment, Russia's currency is not much weaker than yesterday, but the volatility continues. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. Since the beginning of this month, Russia's currency, the ruble, lost 25% of its value against the dollar, triggering the worst financial crisis in that country in 16 years. Today, intervention by Russia's central bank seems to have slowed the decline. The ruble is down just 0.2% at 68 to the dollar. Apple Computers stopped online sales to Russia amid ruble fluctuations, and the furniture company IKEA is raising prices there. Add to this high interest rates that are now in place, which are expected to hurt consumption if they persist. What's happening in Russia is being felt around the world, including in so-called BRIC economies, from Brazil to India. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has our story.
It's better to buckle up when investing in emerging markets. That way, you're ready for rough roads, says analyst Wyn Thin with Brown Brothers and Harriman.
Sentiment gets so panicky. We find that investors can just wholesale dump a whole asset class. I personally think that's wrong.
Despite Thin's pitch for patience, he says it's easy to see why emerging market investors are jumpy these days. The crumbling ruble, as well as China's economic slowdown, has triggered some panic. And there's another threat to emerging markets, says Charles Movit with IHS, a strengthening U.S. economy.
As the economies improve in the West, then people tend to disinvest to some degree in emerging markets and transfer their investments into the U.S. and elsewhere.
If the U.S. draws investments away from, say, Brazil, it opens up opportunities for new investors in Brazil. Analyst Wyn Thin says the investors willing to suffer through this rough patch of road stand to gain long term. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Speaking of governments that depend on higher oil prices for their financial health, the state of Alaska, there's word the credit rating agency Moody's is switching Alaska's outlook from stable to negative. Oil today down another 1.75% to just under $55 a barrel using the Texas price. McDonald's restaurants in Japan will start rationing French fries today. Large and medium-sized orders will be taken off the menu, so customers will have to stick to small. Fine, but the reasons why are interesting. An ongoing labor dispute at ports along America's West Coast. Marketplace's Noel King has the story.
It goes beyond McDonald's French fries. The month-long labor unrest means lots of stuff is backed up. Jonathan Gold of the National Retail Federation says the slowdown affects just about every retailer that ships through the West Coast.
Everything from apparel to consumer electronics to toys to home goods to furniture.
Which could affect the holiday shopping season here in the U.S. Gold says many companies rerouted goods through Canadian or East Coast ports, but
there are some last-minute hot items that could potentially be coming through the West Coast that could get stuck. Our members, they said typically they could get their containers within 2 to 3 days. Now it's taking close to 7 to 10 days or longer.
Emma Griffith, who leads port coverage in the U.S. for Fitch Ratings, says holiday shoppers don't have too much to worry about.
The peak season is over, so I think any damage that's been done for the holiday season has already happened, but I think, you know, it will work itself out.
Talks between the dock workers union and their employers are ongoing, but neither side is saying much about when the delays might end. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. The Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Last Friday was, in general, a particularly lousy day for the stock market. All weekend, like a chiropractor at a convention of contortionists, people who knew I'm a business reporter sought me out with the same question. What about that Dow dropping 315 points? Always the Dow, not the Wilshire 5000, not the S&P, not Treasuries. The headline on financial markets always seems to be the Dow. Started in 1896 by Dow Jones and Company, now majority owned by the publisher McGraw-Hill. Enough already with the Dow, is the position of Marketplace regular and senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine, Alan Sloan. Mr. Sloan, good morning.
Good morning.
I know, I'm guilty of this. Dow this, Dow Jones Industrial that. You think it's time to demote this index in our minds?
Absolutely.
Why? I mean, it's the keynote stock index.
Because it's not an index, it's an average. Any dollar change in any one of the 30 Dow stocks counts the same as a dollar change in any of the other ones. And the example I've used is there's a company called Travelers with 339 billion shares. There's General Electric with 10 billion and change. And a dollar change in each of them offsets each other, whereas in any sort of real index, there'd be a difference of $9.7 billion.
We saw a bit of this the other day. We know that oil prices have been low recently, so that killed off some oil companies' shares. Some of these shares were in the Dow. So we had all these stories written that the U.S. economy had become unmoored. Terrible things were happening, mainly because the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down, mainly because Exxon was down.
That's the problem with the Dow. There is probably not an investment professional in the country that really pays much attention to the Dow, except to the extent that his or her customers would pay attention. And it's all we talk about, even though we know we shouldn't. We should mention the S&P or, heaven help us, the Wilshire 5000.
Yeah, where should we go? The Wilshire 5000, the Russell 3000? We should probably just look at our own portfolios once in a while.
Well, except we don't want to cry in public because that would be so upsetting to the audience.
No, we're coming to the end of 2014. I thought people will be happy when they look at their stock portfolios.
Well, I was happier a week ago than I am now.
Don't look at it every week, for heaven's sakes, Alan. It's sort of like the weather. If you wait a minute, things will change. All right, so we've raised some consciousness, Alan. I'll see how far I can get without mentioning the Dow in the coming days.
Right. I suspect you'll get about 5 minutes, but we'll find out. I'll be listening.
All right. Alan Sloan, senior editor at large at Fortune Magazine. Probably won't see you till 2015, so have a happy new year.
And you as well.
And owners of sports stadiums, hotels, skyscrapers, and other big pieces of real estate have been left in a quandary this morning. Congress finished up without renewing a terrorism insurance program. Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma had objected to a piece of the post-9/11 insurance renewal. It is possible the new Congress will take this on in January. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.